Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, yeah.
The challenge? Fuse jazz with hip-hop and R&B and soul. Pianist Robert Glasper is up to the task. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We are live from the Green Space. Coming up today, the Robert Glasper Experiment and the singer Bilal find common ground between jazz and hip-hop and R&B. But first...
While the knights were gone away, Theseus, to accommodate their combat, paid uncommon
an even unlikelier pairing with hip-hop, Geoffrey Chaucer. Now, if you were intimidated by 14th century poetry in high school, you're going to want to meet Baba Brinkman. The rapper and playwright joins us with some excerpts from The Canterbury Tales Remixed. All of that coming up on Soundcheck right after the news, live from the Green Space.
So what you know about natural selection? Go ahead and ask a question and see where the answer gets you. Try being passive aggressive or try smashing.
Charles Darwin would be rolling in his grave, rolling and rocking and locking and popping. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We are live from the Green Space. Coming up on the show today, evolution and hip-hop with Baba Brinkman. Then, the evolution of hip-hop with jazz pianist Robert Glasper's new album, Black Radio. His group, the Robert Glasper Experiment, features the Grammy-nominated R&B artist Bilal, and they'll play live. But first, a little geek rap. Baba Brinkman introduced Darwin to hip-hop in his off-Broadway production, The Rap Guide to Evolution. More recently, Brinkman tackled Chaucer in The Canterbury Tales Remixed. And if you're wondering, yes, he is absolutely qualified to do that because he has a master's degree in medieval and Renaissance literature. Here in the Green Space, a place where hip-hop and scholarship meet, is Baba Brinkman. Hey, Baba.
How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. So where did the idea of combining hip-hop and more literary pursuits initially come from?
Well, basically, I was doing an undergraduate lit degree in 1999, 2000, and looking for a subject for my honors thesis. And at the time, I was an avid hip-hop head, sort of an aspiring MC as well. And as I was reading the poets in my classes, the William Blake and the Shakespeare and the Chaucer, it really started to seem to me that if we're studying Shakespeare and Chaucer, we need to start studying Nas and B.I.G. and Eminem and Talib Kweli, because they're the lyricists that tell stories with rhymes and rhythms of today. And that's what Shakespeare and Chaucer did for their time. So I started advocating to my professors that that these rappers have a place in the literature department. And I wrote my thesis comparing the Canterbury Tales to hip-hop in order to illustrate that dynamic. And at a certain point, I thought I could try to explain this to people all day, but the best way to do it would be to show them by rewriting the Canterbury Tales into rap.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chaucer, I mean, back in his day, he was writing in a kind of basically slang, right?
Yeah. English at the time was not seen as a literary language. It was seen as the sort of common vernacular of the streets. And when Chaucer decided to use English as the basis for his poetry, that was quite a subversive thing for him. Because most of his contemporaries would have recognized Latin or French or Greek as the proper, Italian maybe, as the proper literary languages. And so I thought it was ironic that now Chaucer is seen as this dusty literature that's trapped in the classroom, whereas originally it was about popularizing the classics.
Mm-hmm. And what else was it about? I mean, does the subject matter get into the kind of things that rappers would go on and on about too?
Very much so, yeah. It's sex and betrayal and infidelity and lust and jealousy and the seven deadly sins and basically every theme that you can find and call it definitive of rap, you can find it in the Canterbury Tales as well. It's all there.
Bling?
Yep. The character you're going to be meeting today is the Pardoner, and he's very ostentatious. He covers himself with jewels and fine robes, and he gets all his cash from preaching to sort of gullible congregations about how greed is the root of all evil, so the only way to go to heaven is to give him all your money.
Mm-hmm.
And he flaunts it. He's sort of a medieval televangelist, so Bling is quintessentially Chaucerian.
So this is Chaucer as... This is like Jazzy Jeff Chaucer is basically what you're giving us here.
I would go for more like Slick Rick Chaucer.
Really?
The art of storytelling, right? That was Chaucer, what he mastered.
Right?
And rappers are the contemporary masters of the same art form.
All right. So Mr. Simmons is going to help you out.
Mr. Simmons wrote the music to go with the Canterbury Tales and the Evolution show, so we'll give you a little demo.
This is the Partner's Tale from the Canterbury Tales remixed. It's Baba Brinkman live from the Green Space.
So just for a little suspension of disbelief, you have to picture me as the partner. Chaucer describes him as pale and pasty, with smooth cheeks and long, stringy, waxy blonde hair that hangs in strands over his shoulders one by one. I picture him as looking a lot like Kid Rock, actually. He's got big, bulging eyeballs like a rabbit and a high voice like a goat. And when he preaches to the crowd, he bobs his head back and forth like a pigeon in a cage. Sinner. So you will be the medieval congregation. The partner has just swept into town. He's going to do a little guest sermon in your church. He's dripping with jewels, covered in silk robes. But remember, he only came here to save your soul. Greed is the root of all evil. In the days before violence was senseless and counterproductive, there were three young friends who were down for some ruckus. They were inner city thugs, what? Rough Riders. Vancouver after losing the Stanley Cup. Riders thriving on chaos. Anarchistic, hedonistic, auto-cannibalistic, like a wolf licking a blade stuck in the ice, thinking it's getting a taste, lifeblood slipping away. I'm talking bad boys, throwing dice in the ghetto, drinking liquor like it was a sacrifice to the devil, dancing, gambling, getting money illegally through nothing but extortion and thievery. I mean, these guys were badasses, women with bat lashes at them, but mostly only for cash transactions. Yeah, that happens. You can hate it or love it, but if you hate it, then you're probably not acquainted with thugging. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's real. If you're chasing a thrill, it's probably making you feel good, like taking a pill. And these guys were thrill-seeking, just three friends, getting ill every weekend. Now I know what you're thinking, typical gangster rappers, but these guys were Belgians from medieval Flanders. Think Boys in the Hood, or think Menace to Society, just from the Middle Ages, of the Flemish variety. That's a human universal, groups of aggressive men. We get it from Adam and Eve, from original sin. That's why people have these appetites, and that's why Christ had to be sacrificed, because of Adam's apple bites. It's tragic, right? Jesus's body torn to pieces just because Adam and Eve were so naughty. But too much preaching will leave you actively snoring. So we'll keep things moving, and I'll go back to the story. It starts at a tavern one morning, where those three friends were still having a stab at a party. They were three sheets drunk, decent people working, they're still out drinking. Outside they heard the sound of a church bell ringing. They saw a hearse bringing a fresh corpse for a funeral. The bartender saw it too, and that's when the news broke. There's someone you know, the bartender told him. It must have been a bad batch of something someone sold him, because yesterday he was here just like having a beer, and death took him while he sat in his chair. Weird. I guess death is the only unbeatable enemy, so we all better be ready to meet him eventually. The main thug took a swill of a bottle full of bravado and went on Robert Rodriguez, desperado, like, that's disrespect. I'm sick of death. You rock a bulletproof vest? He'll get you for cigarettes. Man, I'm frickin' vexed. You say I'll never defeat him? I say let's go find him. Come on, I'm ready to meet him. The violence in me reflect the violence that surround me. So I say if death wants beef, he found beef.
I'd rather go toe-to-toe with all of y'all. Pardon me in my protocol.
I guess he thought death was a person. Silly thug. People get some funny ideas when they're really drunk. The other two guys were like, an eye for an eye. We in this together, son. Yo, beef is mine. And that was it. Three drunk, angry men stumbled out the door looking to capture death, but they didn't get far. They met this old guy in the forest who looked like he was repping the dark side of the force on the Death Star. I mean, bags under his bloodshot eyes like Charlie Sheen after hitting the meth hard. Cracked skin like leather, frail and decrepit. His whole body wrapped in dirty rags like a leper. The old man waved and said, hey, what's the word? You guys look kind of lost. Can I help you get somewhere? And the main thug answered back and said,
Don't touch me, you're covered in crusty scabs. It's disgusting, I think you better tell us how you're even still alive. And the old man replied, hey, I'm ready to die. I've been knocking on heaven's door since I was 75. I guess death just isn't ready to let me inside. That's when the second thug stepped in like, shut up. Death is your friend, and you're trying to protect him from us. I can smell a setup, so tell us where he is. Either you're with us, or you're with the terrorist. And the old man laughed like, what, you looking for death? Well then, that's what you'll get. Death is right over there. Really, go see. I just left him like 2 minutes ago under that oak tree. The thugs ran full speed, and when they arrived at the tree, they just stared with bulging eyes. Death wasn't there, just a bag full of money, stacks of 50s and 100s and handfuls of 20s. Suddenly, looking for death was forgotten. The main thug started scheming and plotting and slick talking. He said, listen, I'm a clever man, right? I hatch plots and I can tell you, this much money attracts cops. We need to get it back to the stash spot. You feeling me? But transporting this by day? Nah, liability. Let's do this right, y'all. We wait for nightfall and then we bring it home and we split it up with the lights off. And after that, we can spend it. But for now, we just chill. So we need some booze, right? We got hours to kill. Look, let's draw straws. Two of us can stand guard and we'll send the third man off to get a bottle of Cab Sauv. The plan sounded damn suave. The youngest pulled the bad straw and ran off. And as soon as he was gone, the main thug went on like, alright, listen up. I'm about to get you paid. What would you say if I told you we could split the money up two ways? Are you game? The second thug said, okay. But hold up, wait, hey, what about our friend, huh? What are we supposed to tell him? You know what I'm saying? We don't say nothing, said the first. We play rough and straight rush him and stick a knife in his side. I ain't bluffing. If we can bring him down, then we'll be kingpins and never have to think about income again. The second thug shrugged like, an eye for an eye. We in this together, son, your beef is mine. Well, in the meantime, the youngest was walking back thinking, God damn, I want all those cash. If I split it with those chumps, all I get is a third of it. Nah, I'm gonna murder those little invertebrates. This isn't a game, this here is a blood sport. So first he hit the liquor store, and then he hit the drug store, and he told the pharmacist, I got some rats in my basement. I need some poison so I can set some traps and waste them. And pretty soon he was walking back to the money tree with three bottles of wine. Two poison and one clean. And what happened next? Exactly what I said. His two backstabbing friends stabbed him to death without a shred of remorse. The main thug said, yo, let's have a quick drink before we get rid of the corpse. And he grabbed the bottle and he took a long swallow and he passed it over to the second thug to follow. And it was all over. They went from boasting and bragging to drinking rat poison cocktails, choking and gagging, and no one was left standing. They all died. Triple homicide, like a Biggie Smalls rhyme. Three friends looking for death, headstrong. Murder one another for cash, dead wrong. Get rich or die trying, ask 50, he knows. Like several plot lines of Quentin Tarantino's. Get the C-notes, get the G's, yeah, the Benjamins. It's that street ethos you get from medieval Belgians. See, people don't change, you're all corrupted. You're falling, that's why y'all need spiritual sustenance. Guidance, you know, like the kind I provide. A ticket to heaven for $9.95. Oh, you like sex and violence? Just buy my record. It provides the whole essence of the Bible's message. Just like Kanye West, Jesus walks with him. That's a multi-platinum gangster gospel record. See, you feed your soul, your bank balance replenishes. So open your wallets up for heaven's representatives. That's why I wrote this rap, to help you get your soul back in return for cold cash. So don't hold back, don't even hold back 1 cent. That's the only way you can avoid becoming part of the 1%. Look, I know you're lost and all you want is redemption. Well, you can have it for a small cost, but only by accepting a pardoner's blessing. So get your money ready, step forward, and take the blessing. God told me it's my destiny to be rich, just like Pastor Rick Warren, or Deepak Chopra, or that chick who wrote The Secret. Look, you're taking a risk either way. Either you risk a few dollars, or you risk your soul.
Baba Brinkman, live from the green space. And the Partner's Tale from the Canterbury Tales Remixed. So that is Chaucer's story, Mr. Simmons' music, and Baba, your retelling of the story, which sounds like, I mean, there's some of those references are pretty timely. So are you kind of changing this thing from month to month?
Well, I wrote a version of the Pardoner's Tale in 2003 and performed that for several years. And then when I had the opportunity to perform the show off-Broadway, they said, could you put your Canterbury Tales show on? And I looked at the script and thought, this just feels dated. I need to update it. So I was trying to insert little references. Eventually, I actually just scrapped the original version and started writing it again from scratch. And that's why I can talk about the 1% and Charlie Sheen and use all the contemporary references.
So a lot of the language that Chaucer used was pretty raw for his day. I mean, would he have had like a parental, you know, one of those explicit lyrics, parental advisory stickers?
He actually explicitly words a parental advisory in one of his tales. So before he tells the Miller's tale, he goes, "If thou list it not to hear, turn ahead the leaf and choose another tale. If you're sensitive, if you think you might be offended, you can skip this story and pick a more moral tale that might please you." But really, you know, he's just doing it to pique our interest.
Because
who doesn't buy a CD because it's got a parental advisory? If anything, it just makes 13-year-olds more curious, right?
Uh-huh. So Chaucer is not the only time that you have introduced the world of hip-hop to a great man of letters. Charles Darwin, how did the Rap Guide to Evolution come about?
Well, I was on tour in Britain in 2007 and 8 with my Canterbury Tales show, and a biologist happened to see it. His name is Dr. Mark Palin, and he reached out to me and said, "I'm organizing a celebration of Darwin's 200th birthday. Mm-hmm. Scientists will give lectures, and I need some entertainment. Do you think you could do for Darwin what you did for Chaucer?" And I thought that was a really good challenge. So I basically had about 6 months to read my way through a bunch of evolutionary biology books and synthesize the concepts into rap songs. But what people should know is that this is actually, this came with a condition attached, because Mark Palin said, "Look, all my scientist friends will be there. You'll be in the position to embarrass me if you get this wrong, young man. So you have to send me emails with your lyrics so that I can fact check them for scientific accuracy." So the Rap Guide to Evolution is the first ever hip-hop show that's peer-reviewed.
And how has it gone down with audiences around the country?
It's gone down very well with New York audiences. We did it in Iowa City about 2 weeks ago, and we almost filled up a 700-seat venue. Mm-hmm. That was Darwin Day. February 12th, and you know, I've done the show in some southern states as well. I did it in Missouri and in Houston, and you know, there were definitely creationists in the crowd. I had a few people walk out at the beginning, sort of shaking their heads in disgust. But I've had other people who came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh man, I don't believe none of that Darwin stuff, but I thought that show was real funny." And you know, that's really what I'm going for. If you can laugh at it and sort of bob your head to it, then maybe you don't think it was actually placed here by the devil to trick you into not believing in God or whatever. And then mm-hmm. you might take another look at the science textbooks.
All right. You want to do a little taste of a Rap Guide to Evolution for us?
I think this crowd needs it, or they'll go away and go crazy.
All right. We are listening to Baba Brinkman and Mr. Simmons performing on Soundcheck live from the Green Space.
The first man on this planet to translate his amazement at the wonder of life into a way to explain it was Charles Darwin. So this is a celebration of Darwin's greatness in the form of a rap. Some would say a debasement. I would say be patient. Okay, so how do you go from amoebas to rappers? You open The Origin of Species and you read his chapters. You're gonna learn all about the impact of people's actions on farm animals, ducks, cows, dogs, domestic crops. They had wild ancestors, but somehow they went soft. Kinda like underground rappers going pop. Like, for instance, in West Africa around 7000 BC, humans domesticated black-eyed peas. But don't call it a sellout, please. Those black-eyed peas have a lot of mouths to feed. Their wild cousins just watch from the weeds. See, there's nothing artificial about domestication. Ant colonies keep domestic aphids. It's an arrangement where one hand washes the other. We protect the cow, and the cow offers the udder. And that's how we get a mouthful of butter. But in the wild, that cow is not gonna cut it. But think about it for a sec. If our little selections and little preferences can change and enhance all the critical differences between wild and domestic breeds over the centuries, well, maybe that can explain everything. I mean, in nature, instead of us making selections, it's just survival and reproduction in the midst of competition, where slight differences that arise randomly get selected by the pressures applied environmentally, and eventually species divide like a family tree into everything alive, from a tiny fly to a huge manatee to all of y'all. Humanity. So how does this apply to the craft of the MC? Well, they say evolution is an algorithm. It only has three parts: variation, selection, and heritability. So let's see if we can find all three in that ecosystem called rap music. All right, so variation can be found in the styles on display. I mean, rappers all have different techniques when they're on stage, and the results can be seen in the audience's face. Like, for instance, at this moment, you guys all look amazed, like guppies removed abruptly from your aquatic space. Your minds are probably racing over questions of style and race and genre and time and place, and some of your eyes are glazed, like, for God's sake, how long will this take? But if you all feel that way, then soon I'll be replaced by someone more entertaining, like maybe Lil Wayne. See? That's selection. Then again, if enough people like you choose to plant my seed, you might turn me into a black-eyed pea. See? You guys are active in the process of evolution all around you. You're like ancient breeders. You're rearranging the features of a species of sheep. You're increasing the sweetness of the peaches every season. Whenever you choose to seed it or to feed it or to breed it or to weed it out and delete it, because you just don't see it as needed. I mean, the preferences in question could be for bigger chicken breasts or whippets with a thinner midsection, or it could just be an inner predilection to pick the best in any mixed collection. That's artificial selection. You're a farmer. That's how it is. You can't opt out of it. You have no choice but to make choices. You're helpless. It's because your time itself is limited. You're not selfish. It's just the rat version of the doctrine of Malthus. It goes, too many MCs, not enough mics. See, that's the proportion of hungry mouths. That's what you call the too many MCs compared to the food resources in the form of captive audiences, right? That's the not enough mics. But survival on stage, that's a non-random process, because those who get massive responses, well, they tend to influence those who aspire to get massive responses. So if you say I sound, for instance, like an Eminem ripoff, how will I respond? I'll probably get pissed off and start flipping you off and grabbing my crotch and acting obnoxious and screaming, nah, dog, that's preposterous. So what you're watching is probably a form of imitation modified by experience, which is pretty similar to the genetic basis of inheritance, that's heritability, except it's part Darwinism and part Lamarckism, with genes and culture co-evolving as we rock to the rhythm. But whether you think cultures really evolve, or if it's just a silly metaphor that's pretty but false, or whether you've never even thought about that, I still think Darwin can teach us all about rap. Because in essence, it's all about that competition for status with intricate language delivered in battles, and it's all about getting that fitness advantage and the different adaptive behavior patterns that have us acting crazier than pheasants mating dances. But hey, that's what they call natural selection. So people, just sit back and listen, and you'll witness the evolution of the rap profession. Sit back and listen. Actually, that's the beginning of the show. So in this case, you have just witnessed the evolution of the rap profession. Thank you.
Baba Brinkman. And just a little bit from the Rap Guide to Evolution with Mr. Simmons, the DJ. And Baba, it's been a real pleasure having you with us here in the green space today. Thanks for giving us a little piece of both of your big off-Broadway shows.
But an absolute pleasure for me.
Baba Brinkman and Mr. Simmons, live on Soundcheck from the Green Space. We'll leave you with a little bit more from the Rap Guide to Evolution.
Mr. Simmons on the cuts, ladies and gentlemen.
Evolution.
evolution works. Once it's been applied, the acid burns into the superstitious side of the human mind and fills it with light. It even dissolves the original sin of pride. That pride that says, I'm a special creation, and my creator has given me dominion over nature, and he has the power to replenish his creatures.
Well, we heard Baba Brinkman talking about the evolution of rap in a moment. A pianist who explores the evolution of jazz and hip-hop, Robert Glasper, will join us with the Robert Glasper Experiment and the R&B singer Bilal to play for our audience here in the green space. You can also watch us live, webcast at wnyc.org/thegreenspace. This is Soundcheck.
And we have millions of ancestors behind us, and their fighting spirits combined to give us this great survival gear. These minds, these limbs, these incredible tools, perfected by millennia of constant competitive use. And yes, these attention-seeking genitals, too. Without them, these living forms could never improve. It's such an elegant view, so filled with breadth and grandeur. And yet some people react with depression and anger, like it's so unsympathetic. It's so viciously random. I mean, what's the point of compassion or ethical standards if this is all just a game that these mindless little organisms are trapped in, and all they're doing is genetically adapting to environmental factors? Then there is no responsibility for individual actions. It's nihilistic. Where is the governing dynamic? Well, once again, Darwin does give us some answers. He says, yes, everything from violets to viruses, it's all just organisms adapting to environments. If you're alive, it's because your ancestors were the best survivalists. They were the finalists in the genetic Olympic Games. Every one of your ancestors made it to reproductive age, and they were all better than their competitors at getting laid. Otherwise, you just wouldn't be sitting here.
Ha, you're rocking, yes, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the yes. Now you are rocking with the fresh, you're rocking with the depth, you are rocking with the fresh, the yes, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the depth.
This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. We're back live in the green space. Well, if you believe our previous guest, Baba Brinkman, hip hop has evolved a lot since its roots in medieval England. That evolution continues today with pianist Robert Glasper. His quartet, known as the Robert Glasper Experiment, is officially releasing its own unique blend of jazz, hip-hop, R&B, and soul tomorrow on an album called Black Radio. But they're here with us on Soundcheck today to give us a bit of a preview. Here is the Robert Glasper Experiment to get us started with a version of a familiar Nirvana tune. With Smells Like Teen Spirit, please welcome the Robert Glasper Experiment to the green space.
Hello, 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 hello
to Robert Glasper Experiment. And a version of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. You heard Robert Glasper at the piano and the keyboard. Casey Benjamin on vocoder. Derek Hodge playing the bass. Mark Hollenberg playing the drums. Live from the green space. And they will be joined momentarily by the singer Bilal. We'll have more from the Robert Glasper Experiment in just a moment. You're listening to Soundcheck.
Back to where we were now. I bring to you Brother Rob.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We are live from the green space, where the Robert Glasper Experiment is still with us, and we've been joined as well by the R&B singer Bilal. Robert, first of all, your last record, Black Radio, comes out tomorrow. The last record was sort of split down the middle, kind of half jazz, half hip-hop.
Right.
This record really kind of just blends it all together.
It went all in.
Is this something you feel like you've been working up to for a while?
Yeah, this is something I've been working up to. I guess starting from my very first record on Blue Note, Canvas was more of a introduction to my composition kind of vibe. And then after that, I did In My Element, which was really my piano trio, In My Element piano trio vibe with a little snippet of hip-hop on there. I did a tribute to Jay Dilla on there.
Great, which kind of got, late producer.
Yeah, late great producer, Jay Dilla, hip-hop producer. And I think that caught the eye of a lot of hip-hop heads out there, because we're no piano trios doing that kind of thing, really, you know, so. And then the next record, you know, was splitting down the middle, because I was working up to this record. It was just like giving everybody a little bit at a time.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't want to give it all away. And I wanted people to really think I can actually play piano, because they'd be like, oh, he plays hip-hop, you know. So I want people to be like, yeah, I can play standards too. I can play jazz, you know. So I just wanted to make that known and kind of solidify myself first before I dove into doing this. I think you respect it more too when it's coming from this way.
Did you grow up in both musical worlds?
Yeah, I grew up. I'm a musical mutt, very, very much so. My mother was a singer and piano player, and literally within a given week, she was she sang at jazz clubs and country clubs and R&B and all kinds of stuff. And then she was also the music director at church on Sundays. So in my household, there was all kinds of music going on, you know.
It's funny how many, you know, musicians, I mean, we think of musicians as being in one genre or another, but, you know, behind the pop stars are a class of musicians.
Of course,
who play everything and anything.
Everything. To me, it's like food. You know, you don't have to eat chicken every day.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, I like this, I like pork, I like beef, I like vegetables, I like that, you know, so it's just like, it's a buffet. Musical buffet.
Now, you're performing, you got a sold-out show tomorrow night at the Highline Ballroom.
Yes.
And then you've added a show on Wednesday night.
Yes.
With Bilal and Lupe Fiasco, and you guys are doing Letterman on Wednesday night as well.
Well, Wednesday night, yeah, we're doing Letterman, but Wednesday night it's the special guest star Lupe, Michelle DeGiocello, and Lettucey.
Okay.
And are you going to be there too? I don't know. I think B may be there. I'm not really sure. The first night he's there. We'll see.
All right.
You'll never know.
And for our Detroit listeners, the Robert Glasper Experiment is also playing at the Charles H. Wright Museum in Detroit on Friday, March 9th. But they're here with us today. So how did you and Bilal meet?
At the New School and in college.
Really? Here in New York?
Yeah, here in New York. Mm-hmm. He's from Philly. I'm from Houston. And we both came up to college. Both got full scholarships to college and came in there. And it's like four black kids in there. And we're like, hey, what's your name? I was like, Rob. He's like, I'm Bilal. Cool. And we became best friends. Casey was the third one. Yeah, Casey. We all met in the New School.
All right.
This is one more black person. That was it.
Was that enough for a quorum?
That was it. That was all we need. Yep.
All right.
That's all we need.
So You guys are going to do a couple of songs for us. Another one from the rock canon, although this is a way more obscure tune, an early David Bowie song called Letter to Hermione. And before we do that, you're going to do a song that you and Bilal did from the last record.
Yes, the original song of Bilal's is titled All Matter. And he was gracious to let us record it first on my record. And then he did on his record after that.
All right.
And so we also got nominated for a Grammy for this song.
Well, why don't we hear it?
Yes.
First indeed. Of two live performances. Please welcome Bilal to the green space with the Robert Glasper Experiment. Thank you.
small thing like pollen in spring. Please speck a dust in this vast universe, just like a raindrop in the sea of consciousness. It's all. What is love? What is this cool on the outside? Hide in the middle, cool on the outside. Hide in the middle, what is love? What is it? Cool on the outside. Hide in the middle, it's cool on the outside. Hide in the middle, what is love? What is love?
The Robert Glasper Experiment featuring Bilal on vocals in the song All Matter. Live from the Green Space, this is Soundcheck. And Bilal and the Robert Glasper Experiment, having found their groove, are going to go right into an old David Bowie song called Letter from Hermione. This appears on the forthcoming Robert Glasper Experiment record called Black Radio. But here it is, live from the Green Space.
Treasured dream, I care for no one else but you. I tear my soul to cease the pain, but maybe that you feel the same. What can we do? I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. So I've been writing just for you. They say your life is doing very well. They say you sparkle like a different girl. But something tells me that you hide when all the world is warm and tired. You cry a little in the dark, well, so do I.
not quite sure what you're supposed to say, but I can see it's not okay. He makes you laugh, he brings you out in style, he treats you well, he makes you up real fine. And when he's strong for you. And when you kiss, is it something new? But did you ever call my name just by mistake? I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to do, so I'll just write some love to you.
Listening to the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring vocalist Bilal playing us out here in the green space with a version of an early David Bowie song called Letter to Hermione, which will appear on the new album called Black Radio, which is out tomorrow. That's going to do it for our soundcheck broadcast from the green space, but our webcast will continue for a few more minutes. If you're not already doing so, you can switch over to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. Tomorrow on the program, singer-songwriter Lana Del Rey's performance on Saturday Night Live was much debated. We'll have a Lana Del Rey soundcheck smackdown and live music from the New York electronic pop band Tiny Victories. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineers today were Paul Schneider, George Wellington, and Edward Haber. The program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. Thanks to Indira Etwaru and the entire Green Space team. We had help today from Ellen Walkington. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.